Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
What has God got to do for us to prove to us that this is His word and He's going to back it up? Oh, well, I read it in the Bible, but what if that doesn't happen? Then the universe will collapse. That's all that'll happen. Because He'll cease to be God. Why is He going to cease to be God over your issue? So if He promises you something, if He tells you something, trust Him.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Pregnancy Test. One of the most terrifying things for a woman, maybe a couple, if the couple's involved, clearly they were involved or you don't have this situation, is not a pregnancy test, but an unwanted pregnancy test. And before we get into all of this, my disclaimer always needs to be and should be, and if it's not, I apologize. This subject is very serious, and you say, well, a lot of churches don't even talk about these things, and that's their choice. You say, well, I'm going to go to a church that doesn't talk about these things, and that's your choice. But there are things going on in our world that have not gone on for millennia. Just because there's technology doesn't mean something's right. Just because somebody changes the law doesn't mean something's okay. And you say, well, I'm not comfortable. You ask God what you need to be comfortable with or not, and start with Him, not with you and your situation. So it's interesting to me, the unwanted pregnancy test versus the wanted pregnancy test. Because you take one girl, she goes to the grocery store, the pharmacy, wherever, and she's excited. She thinks she might be pregnant. She's going to find out. She wants to take that test home. There's a twin pack, double check. You know, this is the greatest news ever. And yet, on the other hand, you got another girl who's terrified, afraid to even go buy it. Stuff's missing, things not happening where they're supposed to happen, and her body's telling her something's happened. Now, the pregnancy test can be passed if you study for the test. You say, well, how could you possibly study for a pregnancy test? If you study for the test, then you know the answers to the test. You say, well, what are you talking about? You don't have to worry about a pregnancy test being positive or negative if you have prepared for that moment with some other things sequentially. You say, well, I really don't know what you're talking about now. Have you thought it through? And this is where it gets screwy for people who don't think it through. You say, well, of course I've thought it through. No. Because if you think it through, and way before you get intimate with someone, way before you get physically involved with someone, if you were to decide, if we do this thing, if we do this act, there's a possibility that we could become pregnant. And if we become pregnant, do we want to be pregnant? And if we do not want to be pregnant, have we already come up with a solution to that situation? And if the answer is yes, then you won't be able to pass the pregnancy test. We say, yeah, we will. We'll just do what we've decided. If you stopped before you got sexually involved, all of these things, and just asked yourself a question, is it a person inside that womb when you become pregnant? And you say, well, it depends. Now, this is where it gets really weird in our culture and in the world today. Because that sounds nuts, except that that's what we've decided. We have decided that if you want the baby, it's a baby. If you decide you don't want the baby, it's an unwanted pregnancy, then it can't be a person. You're a fool. That is completely illogical. You're just making stuff up as you go. But you say, well, but I kind of have to do that. Because if I want to screw around and do what I want to do, and it results in something I don't want, I have to have a way around that. You just can't go around killing people because they get in the way. You say, well, it's legal. How many things are we going to legalize around here that you're going to keep doing just because somebody says they're legal? Just because something's legal doesn't force you to do it. Now, you say, well, I've already failed the test. What do I do? It's not the unpardonable sin. It's a big deal. And you say, well, I don't think it's a big deal. Then why do you feel bad when somebody talks about it? It's not like you got a mole removed. I've never had anybody come into my office and say, oh, Pastor, I feel so terrible. I had a mole removed. I feel like I've desecrated God's body or something. Like, they don't come with that. But I've had plenty of men and women come in who are processing these things because the way they had not studied for the test did not prepare them for failure. And not everybody, by the way, feels this way. Some people, it is like removing something physical. I used to think every woman that had an abortion felt terrible about it. I found out that is not true. That's fact. Because they don't, if you don't see the person, the unborn person as a person, then it's just a procedure. But the second you decide it's a person, you got a problem. Now, let me tell you the good news. No matter how big your problem, he can solve your problem, including this. You say, well, I feel like I made a decision and I took a person's life. Then tell him that. Stop rationalizing it. Stop trying to make it okay. Just go to him with that. You say, what's he going to say? I died for that. There's mercy. There's grace. So let me talk to you about another pregnancy test, and it involves the unborn child. It's a crazy test for, you think, well, what do you mean? How can the unborn child be tested? You're dealing with this tiny little fetus human being, can't defend itself, can't do anything about the situation, and yet there's a test. But that child passing the test is determined by the parents on the outside, the dad in some cases, but ultimately the mom carrying that child. What is she going to make it possible for the unborn child to pass the test? And the test is to see if you can not just get conceived, but if you can get out of the womb. Shouldn't be that hard. But it turns out to be one of the most dangerous places on the planet. All right, go to Genesis chapter 17. I'm going to go through some pregnancy tests in the Bible. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. And this is Abraham and Sarai at this point. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Now, this sounds fine until you figure out what's up with this couple. Verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Now, this is in a conversation with God himself. And said in his heart, not out loud, but God knows something's up. He's on his face laughing. And he's thinking to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Like, dude, this thing, he said, you know, that out loud. He's got another son by the maid, basically. And he says, man, I wish you'd pick Ishmael because what you're talking about is craziness. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Within a year, she'll be pregnant, and you're going to have a boy, and his name will be Isaac. No sonogram, no pregnancy test. This is coming. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Go to verse 1 of Genesis 18, next chapter. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree in Mamre, and he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by and as much as you have come to your servant. Verse 6. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now, before, it's only Abraham and God. Now, Sarah is hearing this. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. So now she's laughing. At least they have a sense of humor. And she was laughing within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" So, like, we're going to do this? Now, I'm not insinuating they had not been doing this, but that's what she's thinking. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Surely I shall bear a child since I am old,' like I'm going to have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." And guess what the baby's named? Isaac. And guess what Isaac means? Laughter. So you know what one of the biggest tests in this whole thing is? And what their step of faith was? What do you think their biggest step of faith was in this process? Just trying. I guess we got to try. We got to do this. You say, well, do you know if they were intimate at this point in their lives? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, that wouldn't be a problem. My old people are still involved. Well, whatever. We don't want to la, 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 la. We don't think about that anyway, usually. But Abraham and Sarah had to be together. Or you got no Isaac. You'll say, well, that's not hard. That's not difficult. That seems like everybody wants to do that. Ask old people. You know, you say, well, things change. So it's kind of a leap of faith, a step of faith. They had to engage with each other and say, okay, we're going to do this. Because within a year of that first conversation, there's going to be a kid named Isaac. That's their pregnancy test. Are we willing to try to get pregnant? See, God can tell you something impossible is going to happen, but he usually gives you something possible to do to bring about the impossible, and you're involved. And are you willing to do what he told you to do in the process? And in their case, it was be together in that way. And what came out of that? A woman who could not have children past the age, and now she's pregnant. Why? For with God, nothing will be impossible. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, jump down to verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both, now look at the description of this couple. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. This is a great couple. This is a godly couple. This guy is a priest who serves in the temple. These are not bad people. They're doing the right thing. Verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, and look why, for your prayer is heard." You're not just talking to nobody, your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Your prayer's been answered, you're going to have a kid, you're going to have a son literally, and I've already got a name, you don't have to worry about having all those meetings, his name is John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Now, listen to me closely. If it ain't a person, what's it being filled with the Holy Spirit for? It's a person. It's John. It's a person with a name, a boy, John, in the womb. You say, well, I just don't believe that. I have to have selective belief. I have figured this all out. I decide when it's a person and when it's not. You're nuts. That's irrational. You say, well, you can't talk to me like that. I just did. You say, well, I don't like it. Take it up with him. I'm just reading you the scriptures. Well, that's your interpretation. Let me tell you something. We're not interpreting anything. That's what it says. Your prayer is heard even from his mother's womb, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, if you feel bad here, you should feel bad for you and for him because this is all of us. He's in the temple light and incense like he's supposed to. An angel shows up, says all of that, and he doubts. What has God got to do for us to prove to us that this is his word and he's going to back it up? Oh, well, I read it in the Bible, but what if that doesn't happen? Then the universe will collapse. That's all that'll happen. Because he'll cease to be God. Why is he going to cease to be God over your issue? So if he promises you something, if he tells you something, trust him. Now you say, well, how does this all tie into pregnancy tests? Let's say you screwed up. Let's say you're fooling around with somebody one time, a one-night stand, and you show up pregnant. Then somehow God allowed that. Don't push it to the next level. Say, okay, Lord, I'm in trouble. I am going to take a pregnancy test, and I'm going to take it, and it comes back positive. Then I'm not going to eliminate this child. I'm not going to kill this child. I'm going to trust you. And if I can't raise this kid, I'll put it up for adoption. And if I can raise this kid, I will. You say, but I'm going to be ashamed. They're going to make people think I'm whatever they're going to think. Why are we thinking so much about us all the time? What are they going to think about the kid that didn't get a shot at life at all? Ask that kid what that kid wants. I'm going to be embarrassed. Put a microphone on the kid, and I'm going to be dead. So let's weigh these out. Which would be worse, a little embarrassment or a little death? Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. Like, dude, I know I use dude a lot, and it's in the original, but you just don't translate it. Like, dude, you know, what are you talking about? So look what the consequence is that. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. Like, now he's bringing it. Like, I'm not just some angel. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Just believe what he says. Don't make it hard on God. You say, well, nothing's going to happen. Happened here. There's a little consequence. It's hard enough living the Christian life without unbelief and then the consequence from that. Keep reading. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. Like, get in there and do your job and come back out. What is he doing in there? But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, so as soon as he's done serving in the temple, he's at the temple, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among my people. Now, you say, well, you're kind of emphasizing, okay, so they went home and did it. Okay, so let me ask you a question. When God created Adam, makes Eve out of Adam, and then says, be fruitful and multiply, was the basic reason for sex pleasure or procreation? So here's what we've done. We've said, no, it's about pleasure. Forget the being fruitful and multiplying. That creates a problem. It's all about me. It's all about pleasure. God built pleasure into a process that was intended for procreation. And we have turned the act into nothing but pleasure for us. And if procreation gets in the way, we eliminate that problem. And anybody that says, well, God's just trying to make my life miserable. Let me tell you something. Get married and have married sex with someone that loves you and you love. And then you come back and talk to me. Instead of the fear and the guilt and all the craziness that comes with that. Well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about reading the book and doing it his way. Well, I've already screwed up. Well, back up and don't screw up anymore. So, verse 24. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among my people. Now, in the sixth month of what? Of Elizabeth's pregnancy. The angel Gabriel, same angel, sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Sex and name. So much easier if angels would show up and do this stuff. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. and all other kingdoms had ended, by the way, of his kingdom, no end. Then Mary said to the angel, and this is not unbelieving, it's just there she has no category. How can this be since I do not know a man? Now, why didn't the angel throw down on her? Because this isn't doubt, it's just a question. There's a difference. How is this going to happen? Because I've never been with a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. A little encouragement for Mary saying, you know, Elizabeth, barren Elizabeth, old barren Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant. Why is 6 months pregnant important? Probably showing not overweight, pregnant. So now Mary's got some backup. And if she talks, and when she talks to Elizabeth, same angel announcing these births. Look down at verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. By the way, I'd highlight that. Men, women, anybody. That's a good response. When God comes to you and tells you something, here's what you say. Behold, the manservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. I'm in. Whatever your plan, I'm in. Whatever your purpose, I'm in. Whatever you want to do, I'm willing. You say, well, what does that mean? That means you're going to do what he says to do. Will that cost me? A whole lot less than saying no. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. And look how that goes down. Mary gets up quick, in haste, takes off to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and my wife showed me something just the other day about this, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. An unborn child is greeting the King of Kings, but you say it's not a person. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
You know, it's all pretty simple. We're the ones that complicate it. And we tell ourselves rational lies in order to rationalize all of our choices instead of just saying, no, God, no more. I'm going to call it what it is. I'm going to own it. I'll take responsibility. I took a life or two or three or whatever it is, and I can't say no to this anymore, but I'm going to agree with what you say. It's sin, and now I'm going to need your help processing that sin. And I promise you what'll happen. He will reveal to you that he loves you and that there is more mercy than you can imagine and grace and forgiveness. And he can restore your life, your broken life, and heal your mind, heal your heart, and put you back together. And then use you as a voice to help people not go down that same path. Or if they have, look at them and say, look, I'm proof that there's hope. I made mistakes. But he's a genius at fixing mistakes. Now, the last pregnancy test that I'd encourage you to do is on yourself. And here's how this one works. If you have ever heard the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and raised from the dead, then a seed has been planted in your soul, the gospel. Let that baby live, because that baby is you. You say, well, what does that mean? The seed is planted ask God to give you the faith to respond to that seed and let it germinate in your life and be born a second time. It's always fascinated me that you can't be born again unless you get born. Getting born is a big deal.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.